Amen. Thank you, choir. Let me ask you to take your Bibles, please, and turn to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 10, as we look at the last few verses of chapter 10. We look at the story of blind Bartimaeus. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse number 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. And may God bless the reading of his word. It's amazing how much more valuable something is when we don't have it. Or worse yet, we lose it. Can you picture for just a moment someone who's lost one of their most prized possessions and they're scrambling around, looking around every corner of the house, looking around in the yard, just trying to find the very thing he or she has lost. We would do virtually anything to get back what we've lost. I mean, if it's valuable, if it's something important to us. Now, history records the name of the singular secondary figure in our passage of Scripture, because, of course, Christ is number one, but history records the name of this man as blind Bartimaeus. And the text doesn't tell us how long he has been blind, but we do know that he lost his vision. He wasn't born blind because, as we note, he asked Jesus to help him regain his sight. This account takes place in Jericho, and there were two cities named Jericho, by the way. There's the Old Testament Jericho, which we hear the story about the walls came tumbling down. And then there's the New Testament Jericho. And these two locations were approximately 5 miles apart, 15 miles from the city of Jerusalem and about 5 miles from the Sea of Galilee. So you kind of get the picture of where this is taking place. So as we know that Mark and Matthew, they give this account as they're leaving. Or here in our text, we see that they came to Jericho, and as they were leaving with the disciples, so on the one hand, they paint this picture that they're leaving Jericho and they're heading to a place further down the road, which we know is Jerusalem. Blindness was a common problem in that geographical region. Even as late as the 1800s and the 1900s, it was believed that somewhere in the neighborhood of 20% of the adult male population was blind. They had vision issues or one thing or another. The environment is what they presume to be the contributing factor to the problem. So some believe it's because of the desert wind that would carry the sand across the land, and their unprotected eyes would get nicked, and you know, the corneas of their eyes would get cut, and it would create vision problems and ultimately lead to blindness. It was Helen Keller who once said that the only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. And our world is filled with people who are blind, spiritually blind, who've had the truth, who have heard the truth that's been presented to them over and over and over again, yet they never see Jesus for who he is. They never see Jesus as healer. They never see him as savior. They just miss it. So there are many people with perfect vision, perfect physical vision, but they are absolutely blind to who Jesus Christ is. It is Jesus alone who has the power and the ability to heal our eyes, to take away the blinders and let us see things the way he wants us to see them. So as much as Bartimaeus desired to have his sight, there was nothing he could do to bring about healing. And so through this encounter that Bartimaeus had with Jesus, we see a great spiritual lesson that applies to all people. Bartimaeus represents all who have been set free from blindness, who have found enlightenment and now follow the Master. So this account reveals why a person should trust in Jesus for more than mere physical healing. The first thing we note in verse 46 is that Jesus heals those who recognize their condition. There is some responsibility on our part. The story revolves around blind Bartimaeus. His condition was obvious and it was drastic. He could do absolutely nothing for himself. He was blind. He could not see, and we can take that thought as far as you want for the things he could not see. The point being, he was blind. He lived in total darkness, a life of bondage to his condition. There was nothing he could do about his blindness except exist in his blindness. To make matters worse, because of his blindness, he was a beggar. The blindness hindered his daily activities. He couldn't hold a job, and he was left to beg for his very existence. He couldn't earn wages. He depended on the sympathy of other people, the generosity of others. He was desperate, and his situation made him feel uncertain. And his life was just lacking something because he could not see what he wanted to see. His situation serves as an example of our own significant problems. We're spiritually blind apart from Jesus Christ. We need Jesus to heal us. Healing takes place on his terms, on God's way. Salvation takes place in the way he describes, the way he demands, rather than something we conjure up or come to on our own. Because we see here in this story that Jesus calls out to him and says, "Get up and come here to me." It was on Jesus' terms. It was Jesus' way. But we need to recognize our condition. Sometimes it's hard to recognize our own condition or to see our own problem. Sometimes we're the very last person to notice that there's something wrong in our lives. Think for just a moment if you went to the doctor this week and you received a terrible diagnosis. I know for me, the first thing I would think is, it can't be all that bad. Or maybe the doctor's wrong. I think I need a second opinion. We just don't believe what the doctor has said. But our condition is one that is terminal. The condition you have apart from Jesus Christ is worse than blindness. It's the imminent pain of death, spiritual death. We don't like to admit that there's weakness in our lives, that there's some problem going on in our life. Yet all of us have to arrive at this place where we reach out and call out to Jesus. We don't like people to pry into our private lives. After all, our lives are our own. They belong to us. And we don't like people to say that there's a problem in our lives and that there's something going on that needs the touch of the Master, the healing hand of Jesus. And for some, it's salvation. For others, it's restoration of a broken relationship with him. We become afraid that weakness will reveal our vulnerability. And we refuse, therefore, to acknowledge that there is a problem at all. We refuse to admit it. As we look at this story here with blind Bartimaeus, everyone around could see the problem. Everyone knew the problem. And our problem, our circumstance, and our situation is quite obvious to God. We need him. We can't handle the problems on our own. If we can handle them on our own, we don't need him. And everyone who has spiritual blindness is at the whims and the desires of the world, and we never get to have the vision that we so deeply want. So blind Bartimaeus, his condition paints a perfect picture for those who are unsaved or those who have turned their back on Jesus. Some have been blinded by the desert storms and the enormous calamities of life, the difficulties of this life. They're out of fellowship with God, and they live in complete darkness. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this, "The God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them." People are lost beggars who are unable to provide salvation for themselves. They are simply beggars in need of the gift of salvation. And so that's what's going on in the world around us. Blindness, darkness, emptiness. And people have to arrive at a place where they recognize this gnawing emptiness in the pit of their stomach. And until they arrive at that place, they continue to go on their journey, begging, groping along, trying to find their way in the dark. The second thing we see in verses 47 and 48, Jesus heals when we call out to Him. Bartimaeus could not see what was happening, but he knew something was going on because he could hear the commotion of the crowd. He could hear the crowd just coming closer. He heard all the flurry. He heard all the things that were going on and all the voices. And every now and then he would hear that name, Jesus, Jesus, just among the crowd. And it dawned on him what was going on. He knew that Jesus was coming by him. And he knew that this was his only opportunity. So he heard this commotion. And can you imagine for just a moment how he felt? How he had been groping around in blindness and darkness and emptiness. And he heard that Jesus was coming along. He had heard the stories. He had heard the testimonies. And he knew that Jesus could do something about his situation. He knew. And so he knew Jesus was coming. And he knew that this was his only opportunity possibly. And so he called out to him. He says, "Son of David, will you heal me?" This is a messianic title. The Old Testament describes the Messiah as the one who could heal, or one of the ones who could heal. He healed blindness. We also know that as Messiah, Jesus is heading to the cross. So all this is wrapped up into this. But Bartimaeus is calling out to Jesus, and he's calling on a higher level. He's calling out and proclaiming his name and saying, "I declare that you are the Messiah. Will you help me? Heal me. You're my only hope." And Jesus, he's our only hope. The crowd attempted to quiet Bartimaeus, but rather than just allow the crowd to quiet him down, he cried out all the more. He was repeatedly crying out to God. He was determined to get an answer from Jesus. He was determined to get Jesus to heal him. So they attempted to stop him, but Bartimaeus was determined to do all he could do. The only way we can get God's attention sometimes is by crying out to Him. This is not just any sort of cry. This is one of those desperate cries that we sometimes get because there's something so diabolical or so difficult or so depressing or demanding that's going on in our lives that the only thing we can do is cry out to Him. That's the kind of cry we need to cry out to the Lord to respond. Satan and the world will try to keep you quiet. They will say, "You don't need to do that. You don't need to call out to Him. Just wait a little while." Or they'll say, "He really doesn't have time." For the crowd, they were saying, "Blind guy, Jesus doesn't have time for you. He's heading to Jerusalem to take the throne." They thought He was taking the throne of David. We know He wasn't, though. Not in the way they thought. And so they said, "He just does not have time for one pesky little crying blind person." And that's what the world would tell us and want us to believe. But that's just not the case. Jesus cared for blind Bartimaeus. Out of all the fervor and all the noise that was going on, He responded to him. He heard the cry, and He reached over and said, "Bring him to me." Jesus cared for blind Bartimaeus, and Jesus cares for you. He cares for where you're at and what's going on in your life, and sometimes we think that absolutely no one cares, but He cares. And He alone is the one who has the ability to do something about it. We can believe the lies of the devil if we want to and if we choose to, and oftentimes we believe the stories that Satan throws in our way, saying he doesn't have time, he doesn't care, you're nobody, you're insignificant, whatever the case may be. We choose to believe that lie when his testimony, the testimony of Jesus Christ, says something entirely different about him and about how he views you. Isaiah 55:6 encourages us to cry out to him, and it says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." And anytime you hear the name of Jesus, that's an invitation for you to cry out to him. The third thing we note in verse 49 is that Jesus heals because he is the God of all comfort. The persistent cry of Bartimaeus was successful. Jesus heard his cry and he said, "Come to me." Can you consider for just a moment what he felt when he knew that Jesus said, "Come here to me"? We see what took place. He threw off his cloak, probably his only real possession, and he just threw it off and he ran to Jesus as best as he could. I mean, he's still blind, right? But you get the picture. He threw it off and he made his way to Jesus. Jesus had time for the blind beggar. He has time for you. If you've never met Jesus, now is your time to call out to him for healing. More important, for salvation. He's never too busy to hear the cry of the one who seeks him. He stands and he waits for you to come. His invitation is, "Come now. Come, I want to take care of you. I want to heal you. I want to restore your vision. I want to give you sight. I want you to be able to see me." He's never too busy to hear the cry of the one who looks and seeks for him. He stands ready for you to come to him. He paid a great price for you. He wants to give you sight. More importantly, he wants to save your soul. You're never too far. You've never done anything, any sin that is too great that he couldn't possibly forgive you. He's a great lover, he loves you greatly. He loves you deeply. He loves you. He's calling for you. He's the God of comfort. The fourth thing we see in verse 51 is this: Jesus heals because he has the real cure. Bartimaeus called out because he wanted to receive his sight. Sometimes we don't really know how to ask or what we should ask for in prayer. Remember the other week when the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Jesus, give us a blank ticket. Give us a blank check. Give us anything we're asking." That doesn't get a response from God like this one did. He said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Would you restore my sight?" I think it's important for us to pray specifically. If there's some need, urgent need, that's in your life, pray specifically about it. Yes, if you pray, as I've often said, "Lord, bless me," he'll bless you. But pray specifically about the matters in your life. It's important for us to be people who pray. So we pray. He prayed in faith. He called out in faith. He said, "Lord, would you make me whole?" And Jesus said to him, "Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has saved you." So blind Bartimaeus this day came to get healed. But this word here in this passage of Scripture, it's the same word we use for salvation. It's the very same one that describes this interaction that you and I have, though we may not physically be blind. When we meet Christ as Lord and Savior, we are saved. So what took place is blind Bartimaeus this day, he received his physical sight, but Jesus also saved his soul. That is far more important than any physical matter, any physical circumstance or condition that is going on in your life, any matter of prayer. The most important matter is this, that of salvation. Bartimaeus was never the same. He was no longer blind Bartimaeus. Now he was just Bartimaeus. He was never the same. He saw with his physical eyes, but more importantly, he saw Jesus as Messiah, Savior. He saw him as Lord. Our spiritual vision is what matters. Bartimaeus faith was the key to his cure. Had he not believed, he would not have been healed. When the Holy Spirit leads you to Christ in faith, he will provide salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9 says this, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So how do you know that you have spiritual sight? Salvation will change you instantly. It's a dramatic difference. He completely saves you, completely transforms you, and it's an eternal transformation. It is what takes place when you meet Christ as Lord and Savior. It takes place, and it is a done transaction. It is a completed transaction. John 14:6 says this, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." He's the only means for truly having our sight restored. The fifth and final thing we see in verse 52 is this. Jesus heals, and he calls for us to follow him. Bartimaeus was no longer blind, but now he was a born-again believer with a desire to follow Jesus. The Lord had done for him what no one else could do. Bartimaeus loved the one who healed him. Bartimaeus was committed to following him. When Jesus saves your soul, you will want to follow him. He so completely changes and transforms your life, you will desire to walk with him and enjoy fellowship with him. You and I, we deserve to die in our sin, yet we get to spend an eternity with him in heaven. As a result of what he's done, we owe him everything. And it is our great joy in this life to follow him on this journey, serve him, and do what he calls us to do. It's disconcerting when we hear someone who claims to know and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior with no desire to serve the Lord. If life hasn't been changed and there's no commitment to Jesus, it's probably time to search our hearts to see if there was really a transformation. John 10:27 says this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." We follow Jesus. We get in behind him. We don't follow man. We follow Jesus. We don't follow the rules of man. We follow the Word of God, and we follow Jesus. That is how we know we're saved. If you've been saved by his grace, there will be a change. The old desires may resurface from time to time, but your heart has now been transformed, and you follow Jesus. So why should a person trust in Jesus for more than physical healing? It's because he's the only source of hope for real healing. Maybe you've had a lapse in vision and taken your eyes off the Savior. Call out to him and plead with him to help you, to restore your vision and bring you back in that right relationship with him, and keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. How is your vision today? Are you looking through the eyes of faith, or are you blind to the things of God? You don't need necessarily anything else but Jesus and to follow Jesus. That's what this message is about, following Jesus. And maybe you've been saved by his grace, but the cares and burdens of this life have clouded your vision. You're now spiritually blinded. Maybe your vision is darkened and it's dimmed. But as a follower of Jesus Christ, you are not spiritually blind. You need to walk with the Lord. Bring your burdens and your cares to Jesus. He can provide wisdom and strength for your journey so that you can get back on track and follow him. So this morning, as we close in just a moment, you have an opportunity, if you've never met Christ as Lord and Savior, then to meet him as Lord and Savior. You've heard the name, you've heard the words, you've even heard the messages, but you've never crossed that bridge. You've never made that journey in which you put your trust fully in Jesus Christ. Now is the time to call out to him. And maybe, Christian friend, you're on the other spectrum. You met Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know it. But you've strayed away. your life. It seems like it's filled with the things of this life, the allurements of this world, the enticements of the devil. And you feel like you want to get right with him once again. And you don't know how. Well, this morning, all you have to do is call out to him. Just like this blind beggar, all you have to do is say, Jesus, heal me. Jesus, help me regain my spiritual vision. Jesus, minister to me. So this morning as we close and we give you an opportunity to make a decision one way or the other, it's up to you to decide if you're going to walk in the light or if you're going to walk in spiritual blindness. The decision is truly yours. Let's pray. Father, we just pray that you'd help us this day not to respond, Lord, in a spurious sort of way, but, Lord, that we would respond in accordance with the call from you to come and be healed. I pray this morning, Lord, if there's anyone here that needs to meet you as Lord and Savior, that during this time of invitation, Lord, that you would call them out. Lord, that you would issue the invitation. And Lord, if there's any Christian brother or sister whose eyes have been dimmed and darkened by this world, that this morning, Lord, you would just pull back the veil so they can watch and follow you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior.